So we were in Acts last week, and I'm hesitant or reluctant to call this a series that we're starting because I'm not real sure where God's taking us through this. I thought last Sunday we were going to do a Holy Spirit study. God decided probably not today, right? So I don't know. That's what I wanted to do. But as I was in prayer and I was in preparation for this morning, I just kept reading in Acts, and I kept going past where we left off last time. So I think that's what we're going to pick up. So we'll be in Acts chapter 2. And so just to catch you up, Jesus has been, he is dead, buried, resurrected, right? So that's what we did on Easter. And then last week, yeah, I talked about, I said, okay, now what? Right now, now that he's dead and he's been buried and he's resurrected, now what are they to do? What do the disciples do? And we looked at them, and we looked at my favorite guy, Peter. Not really my favorite, but one of like top five Bible people, okay? Peter is in there for me because he messed up a lot. But he was faithful. And so we look at Peter, and they're sitting around, and there's about 120 of them. They're all just kind of gathered around, and I can almost feel the buzz, like, now what are we supposed to do? We're all just kind of sitting here together now. And then Peter stands up and he starts talking. He's like, okay, we got to do this. We got to go. Jesus said to stay. And then now the Holy Spirit's come and we got to do something, right? And they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they're talking in tongues. And then Peter's trying to describe to those folks what's going on. And then they come to him. And they said, well, what can we do? We know this information now. What are we supposed to do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. And 3,000 people, 3,000 souls, some translations say, were repentant and baptized that day. And I told you how jealous I am of that. But I'm okay with 3. I'm okay with 1. I'm okay. As long as we're reacting to the Word. As long as we are obedient and reacting to the Scripture. All right? So today we're going to pick up in 2:42. And I'm going to read this chunk. I've gotten that kind of out of that habit, but I'm going to read what I intend on covering today. If the Lord leads us farther, he will, and if he stops us short, he will. But I'm going to just read this, okay? So starting in 42, and we're going to end in 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling the possessions and goods they gave to anyone who has need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know. I like what we read, and we're gonna go back and start at 42, and I'm just gonna kind of go down each verse, and I want to break it down for us, and I want to see what does that mean for them, and what does that mean for us, right? Because it could mean two different things, or it could mean the same thing. It really just depends on how we look at it. But I want to point out a whole lot of things, and the very first thing is they devoted themselves, and when it says they, it's talking about the people that had been added to their number previously, the ones that had repented and been baptized, right? So that's who they is. They devoted themselves to the apostles. A lot of people like to stop there. A lot of people like to stop. They devoted themselves to the apostles. So it would look like they devoted themselves to a man or to a person. That's not what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Do you know that being devoted to something means being focused on that particular thing almost exclusively? All right, so let's think about devotions. What are we devoted to? We're devoted to our spouses, devoted to our careers. Some of us are devoted to exercise. Some of us are devoted to our finances, to food. Some people are devoted to drugs and alcohol or pornography. Whatever it is that we're devoted to, just understand the meaning of it. It's being focused on that particular thing almost exclusively. So if you're sitting there asking yourself, what am I devoted to? Just think about, what do you spend the most money on? What do you spend your most time doing? And what do you spend the most time thinking about? That is your devotion. Regardless of what it is, that's where you're most devoted. Okay? I've heard people say, you want to know what's most important to you? Open your checkbook and find out. Right? If you look at mine, it's food. I've told all of you how much I love food. I'm just trying to lighten you up a little bit. Calm down. All right, so listen. When you're devoted to a cause, you work together to achieve goals. Okay? So when people are devoted to a singular cause, you will work together to achieve a goal. That's a team, all right? Together, everyone achieves more. That's a team. So when you're devoted to the same goal, you know, they're going for the same cause. When you're devoted to a person, you place their needs above your own. Can I tell you that our God is devoted to you? Our Lord and Savior devoted Himself to you individually. He thinks and spends His time on you exclusively. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that the God that created everything cares enough about little old me in Mount Gilead, Ohio. Or Galleon, I guess, is our physical address. Right? Little old me. He's devoted to me. I maintain space in His mind. And not just a little minute space, but like He spends time, a lot of time, considering me and loving me. And it's not just me, it's you. See, God's devoted to you. Are we devoted to Him, though? See, if we were, we would place His needs above our own. If we were devoted to God, truly, His needs would be above our own. What does God need? Glory. Worship. Praise. Are we devoted to that? Really, really devoted to that. Do we spend our time on that? Do we spend our money on that? Are we focused on God's glory, worship, praise, almost exclusively? And if not, why not? What's in the way? What can we throw off? What's keeping us? And what's inhibiting us from doing that? What's occupying our minds versus God? What are we giving space to? You know, there's only so much space inside here. And who are we letting live there rent-free? Or what are we allowing to live there rent-free? What keeps us from our devotion to the Lord? All right, so he says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So there's four things there, right? Four things that they devoted themselves to. The apostles' teachings. This would include, but not limited to, the time that they spent with Jesus himself. This would include Old Testament scripture. Okay? This would include just witnessing to others. It would include anything that they had to teach them. They devoted themselves to it. They paid exclusive attention to that. All right? Also, to fellowship. I love that they devoted themselves to fellowship. You guys know that fellowship is probably pretty high on my priority list. I like when we get together. I like when we do things together. And we don't even have to really be doing churchy stuff. You know, we just can spend time with one another. Because then we're devoted to each other's fellowship. We're getting to know each other, love each other, and grow with each other. It's more than just coming together on a Sunday morning, spending an hour here, and then going out. We'll touch on that a little bit more later, so I'm not going to... See, I get excited. I want to start preaching the end of the sermon and the beginning of the sermon. Not today. Not today. All right. Fellowship. Breaking of bread. Y'all like to eat like me? Come over. I do it like five times a day. Right? Come over. Let's break bread together. That's why we have a meal for our Wednesday nights. One of the reasons we have a meal is so that we can just sit together, spend time in fellowship, and break bread with one another. I told you, if you were at a Good Friday service, that it was their customs that you couldn't or shouldn't eat with someone that you had an offense against, or if they had an offense against you, right? That just wasn't their culture. If you had a rift between you, you wouldn't eat together. And that's what I love when we eat together. That's kind of in agreement. I hold no grudges against anyone about anything. You know, we're people. We're going to annoy one another at some point in time. But we work it out because we're family. That's what family does. All right? So they break bread into prayer. Prayer is probably the most misused attribute of Christianity, I think. I think people don't know how to do it, or they're scared to do it. If you've ever prayed before, and it sounded something like this: "Hey God, I don't know. I know what to say. I'm just here." That's prayer. That's what he wants. He wants communication. It doesn't matter if you have this great big wordy thing, if you're, you know, a doctorate in theology, or if you're just a brand new Christian. What he wants has more to do with the interaction with him than the physical words. Does that make sense? And someone asked me one time, this prayer, I can't remember the exact wording, but basically it was this: can we change anything by prayer? Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't we be able to change? Why would we pray if it didn't do any good, you know? Basically, the question was kind of posed to me: the all-knowing Father, who has everything planned, can our little old prayers change his will? The wording's there is a little different, but yes and no. His will is for good, so as long as our prayers are for his good, yes. Right? I don't know. It's people just muck it up, you know? They just get it all dirty and they don't want to do it. Anyhow, we'll talk about prayer some other day. Let's go to 43, because if I spend too much time on 42, look. Oh, Lord, we got to go. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. This verse is notoriously difficult to translate, but basically what they're trying to tell you is there was unity among the believers, okay? The words that are used in there are, Luke, being the doctor that he is, was kind of wordy and used bigger words than some of the other gospel writers. And it just made this sentence really tough. But basically what I want you to know is there's a strong emphasis on unity. So all the believers were together and had everything in common, or all the believers were together and unified in thought. How about that? All right, does that help you? 45, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. You guys ever read Radical by David Platt? Anybody? He would encourage you to sell everything that you own and just give it to those that are in need. I find that noble. I also find that radical and difficult. And then also, so if you sell everything that you have and give to those that need, that means you're in need, right? So if you sell everything you have and give to the need, can you just give it back to yourself? I'm very confused by the whole thing. So I don't want you to read the scripture and say, oh no, Nathan said I have to go sell everything that I own and give to those that are in need. What I want you to do is to recognize your excess and how you can use that to bless the needy, right? Anybody in here have more clothes than you can wear in a week? I got workout clothes, I got church clothes, I got mud clothes, you know, I got hunting clothes. I got different types of clothes. There are people in our community who have like one outfit, right? They have one shirt, one pants, one shoes. I have specific shoes. I have running shoes. I have boots. I have chore boots. You know what I mean? So I have this excess. And as I look in my closet, I think, wow, I'm so gluttonous. What could I do with this? So this is just me kind of telling you. Not that I just want to declutter, because yes, I do want to declutter. But at the same time, I want to use my excess to bless someone else. All right? So if selling all your belongings and providing for the needs of others is just too radical, because it kind of is for me, Why can't we just take what we have over an abundance of and use that to bless others? If your pantry is full and someone comes to you and is hungry, wouldn't that just make sense? Here, take some food, right? I'll tell you a story real quick and then I'll move on. There was a person here, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday. I pulled into the church, you know, I was coming to work, and there was someone here, they had Montana tags. And I got out, and they jumped out of the truck, and they kind of rushed over to my truck. What'd I tell you about running up to my truck? Right? But this guy, he seemed kind of harmless. Anyhow, so he kind of ran up, and he said, are you with the church? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, I need... And he just stopped. I said, well, what do you need? You know, I figured most people stop here, they need gas or prayer. Basically, the two needs that normally come in. And I said, well, what do you need? And he says, I need everything. Absolutely everything but salvation. And I love that he put that in. He's like, I got salvation, but I need, physically, have needs. You know, so he comes into the church, and I have him sit down, and, you know, I'm just talking with him, getting to know him, trying to figure out how I can help him. Right? Does that make sense? So, you know, he's sitting in the office, and he's like, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. I said, okay. So I went and rummaged around the kitchen. I found some saltine crackers because we hadn't had our meal yet for Wednesday night. Because usually we have leftovers. So I found some saltine crackers. So I was like, you want these? That's all I have other than a can of tuna, but he didn't have like a can opener. Anyway, so what I'm trying to tell you is that although it didn't seem like I had much, I had an extra, and he was able to be blessed by it, right? He left here not receiving any money, receiving just a sleeve of crackers, but had a whole lot of prayer, and he left here with joy in his heart. He said, I don't care about the money. I'll find it. God will provide for me. He always has. I just appreciate you opening your doors because other people have shut them in my face. And that scares me because he told me, he said, I went to a church and said, do you help brothers in need? And they said, no. They said, oh, no. They said, we're in a board meeting now trying to figure out how to pay our bills. Yeah, bills are important, but the needs of his people is what we're trying to provide for, right? And that's what they were trying to provide for. If you are faithful to God and you trust in God to provide your needs always, he will. In his way, through his people. It's the trust that's hard. It's the faith. That takes faith. And that takes a mature faith. To really finally just give it over. That's why every Sunday when we pray for the offering, I just pray for your hearts. I just say, God, you know, let them understand that when they give to you, you give back. I've seen so many people give their last $5 and it'd be like the middle of the month, but still make it through the rest of the month for God using his people to provide for the needs of the needy. 46. Every day, they continued to meet together. I underlined every day. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Look at the dual locations there, okay? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. So let's just call that church. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day they were with each other, either at church or in their homes. Why is that so important? That is so, so important because it goes back to our fellowship. It goes back to being around like-minded people. It goes back to feeling the love of God from other people. It goes back to him filling our needs from others. See, if we live in a bubble, if we just isolate ourselves and we live in this bubble, trust me, I would love to be in my bubble because that's just kind of my nature. I would like to have my four friends and, you know, just kind of be there. But that's not really how life is set up, is it? But anyhow, if we lived in that bubble, we would be denying God the opportunity to grow us. We'd be denying God the opportunity to bless others by us for our own selfish wills. And this says every day they continue to meet together. So think about your life. What do you do every day? And I would tell you that is your devotion. Do you spend every day with believers? Do you break bread with believers? Do you spend it at church? What do you do? Or do you spend every day, here lately for us, it's at a baseball field, or at some other meeting, or you know what I mean? Where do we spend our days and our time and our efforts? Because these people devoted themselves not just to the apostles, not just to their teachings, but to one another. And that's what I'm asking us to do. I'm asking us to take a devotion and an interest in one another. We're not all the same people. Thank God for that. We would be robots. We're very, very different. And it's fun to get to know each other. It's fun to be in each other's presence. I literally get joy out of being with you. Just in your presence. Just sitting with you. Just talking with you. That's fun. And they did that every day. Every single day. Let's go on. They said they did it together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I think the Lord was able to add to their number because of their devotions to one another. I think, see, if they just lived in their bubble, no one else would be able to come in. Right? Although they devoted themselves to one another, there would have to be room for guests. Does that make sense? Because if not, if it was just devoted to these people, that would be a cult. Then you can't let anybody else in. Right? And some Christians have been that way. Some Christians put up a whole lot of rules. Like, hey, you can't come unless you got X, Y, and Z of your life taken care of. Or, hey, you can't even come to our building without that tie on. Right? And I'm picking on them because they have physically stopped people from coming to God. They have put their own man-made limitations on God's word, on God's will. Because they think they know better. And I would tell you, if we truly just devote ourselves to the Lord, to His teachings, and to one another, He will continue to add to our number daily. So when I say our number, I don't necessarily just mean our church, okay? I mean our number as in those that have a salvational knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the big C, the big church. He would continue to add to our numbers if He can use us. Can He use us in our bubbles? No. Not very well. Not very well. Can He use us when we're devoted to other things but Him? Not very well. Not very well. So I'm asking you, what kind of... Have I ever called y'all tools? You've been a lot of things. What kind of tool can you be for God? You know? At my house, a butter knife is a lot of things. Butter knife could be actually for butter and spreading condiments, or it can be a screwdriver. I've seen it be a pry bar, right? Butter knives are a whole lot of things. So can you be one of those multifaceted tools, right? Can you be one of those people that is used in your situation? You know, okay, I'm not telling you that doing other things outside of church is bad. What I'm saying is while you're doing it, be devoted to God still. All right? Does that make sense? I don't want to come off like saying, oh, you have to be at church every day or you have to be in fellowship at someone else's house every day. No, what I'm saying is when you are in those other situations, check your devotions. What are you devoted to? Right? Because if you're not devoted to God and His principles, that will shine through. People will know that. They will see your devotions. Okay? And these people devoted themselves to the teachings, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and prayer. of the apostles. They did it for a couple reasons. They were new believers and they needed that. They needed to be able to be in fellowship. They needed to be able to learn. They needed to be able to grow. They needed a place to belong. You ever just felt like an outsider looking in somewhere? And you just kind of like, man, I wish I could belong there. The difference between that feeling and what they had was they were accepted in. So I pray that we are an accepting group. I pray that we don't close off our walls. We don't close our bubbles so tight that people can't get in. Now, as we grow and we fellowship with one another, we will be able to recognize when Satan is trying to attack that. We will see when he's trying to drive a wedge into that. All right? Because he will, believe me, if you think he's not in church right now, you're wrong. He is trying to drive a wedge between us and the Lord. And he will use anything that he can. Excuse me. So as we're in fellowship together and we're in devotion to the Lord and to one another, we will be able to hear his voice and recognize an attack and be able to stop it before it penetrates. But that's going to take a whole lot of growth. That's going to take a whole lot of time together. And it's going to take more than an hour on a Sunday morning. It's going to take us being truly devoted to God and one another. So this morning, that's my prayer. My prayer is for you to be completely devoted to these four things, to the teachings, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. You know, I did a marriage series, back in February, I guess, and I gave you five things that could fail-proof your marriage. If you were able to do those five things, you had 99% chance of survival, right? If we can do these four things for faith, I will give you a 99% chance of success. If we can lock on to these four attributes, if we can devote ourselves to teachings, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, you have a 99% successful rate of dying a saved Christian. It's just four things. That's what I said about the marriage thing. It's just five things. But as you look at them, they're going to be challenging. They're going to be difficult. You're not always going to get it right. But when you fail or you miss it, that's when the true growth comes. Because are you just going to keep failing or are you going to stop and go back? Right? Peter told these people, he's like, repent and be baptized. They came to him and said, we've been doing this wrong. We did something wrong. How can we stop? And he said, repent and be baptized. And I would tell you that. If you've noticed yourself going down the wrong road and you notice that your devotions aren't where they should be, repent. And that just means turn around. Stop doing it. Right? Repent. Turn from it. And when you turn from it, turn to him. Not to a person, but to him. Because all he wants is your heart. To be magnified, glorified. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would forgive us where we have failed you. I pray that you be patient with us. I pray that you give us wisdom and discernment as we try to faithfully follow you. Lord, I pray that you use your Holy Spirit to guide us. That you use your Holy Spirit to allow us to open our eyes and to see what is truly important, and to use our everyday situations for your glory. I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you for his sacrifice and for his continued devotions to us. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to have Les and Matt come down here. We're going to be down here to pray with you. We're going to be down here to talk to you. If you want to come and have some fellowship, you got like a song's worth of time to do it in. Because we're going to be here. I have the praise team come up. They're going to sing us another song. Or actually, we're going to sing with them. Does that make sense? They're not just here to entertain us. We're to sing back. We're not singing to them. We're singing to God. They're just helping lead us in that song. Okay? All right, so Les and Matt and I will be down here up front with you. And I just pray this morning, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, come talk to me. Or if you haven't and you've kind of walked away from him for a little while, come talk to me. There's absolutely no judgment here. I walked away for I don't even know how long, but I'm back. Right? It's the coming back that's the most important part. Okay? All right. So if you would, stand and sing with us.